The 2025 Confidence Index. How are those in admissions, marketing, and communications roles in independent schools faring? Are they confident about the future? Do they have everything they need to do their roles effectively and really help their schools to thrive? The Confidence Index is an annual barometer of how admissions, marketing, and comms professionals in the sector are feeling. It explores key themes such as staff morale, recruitment challenges, perceived value within schools, and outlook on the sector's future. The research is undertaken by MTM Consulting Limited in partnership with AMCIS. So today we talked to MTM's Director of Marketing, Emily Hargest, about the key findings. We'll also be speaking to Victoria Dedman-Gatt, who, as a board member of AMCIS and a Director of Marketing Admissions and Engagement at the Royal Russell School, is in the perfect position to give us her thoughts from a school's perspective. Come with me, let's go.
Welcome back to the AMCIS podcast, brought to you by the Bonjour Agency. AMCIS is the Association for Admissions, Marketing and Communications in Independent Schools, and this is the podcast where we speak to people in the independent school sector. Let's get into this episode right now.
So I've been super excited for this podcast episode. We have Emily and Victoria with us. First of all, Emily, hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks, Simon.
It's great to have you with us. I must ask you, have you ever been on a podcast before?
I haven't, but obviously we used to work on the QEH podcast when I was working in a school. So I've chucked the microphone at lots of teachers and members of staff and said, it's absolutely fine. You'll have loads of fun. Just crack on and do it. And yeah. It's a little bit more nerve-wracking when you're the one doing it.
I love that. That's really good. We've also got Victoria with us. Victoria, just tell us which school you're from and a snapshot of that school as well, just for people who might not know it.
Sure. I'm the Director of Marketing, Admissions and Engagement at Royal Russell School in South London. We are a school that educates boys and girls from A3 all the way through to 18, and we are day and boarding.
Fantastic. Now, Emily, let's jump back to you for a second. We're here today talking about this confidence index, and I imagine that some of the people listening to this may well be very familiar with what the confidence index is all about. Some people may be thinking, I've heard of that, I don't quite know what it is. Other people might be thinking, what the heck is Simon talking about on this podcast recording? Tell us a little bit about what it is, just for those people in categories 2 and 3, or B and C, whichever way you want to cast it.
Sure. So the confidence index is run by MTM Consulting, which is where I work now, in conjunction with AMCIS. And it's an annual benchmarking survey that we put out to marketing and admission staff in independent schools across the UK. And really, it does what it says on the tin. It is gauging their confidence in their roles and the independent education sector as a whole. It's been running since 2022, so it's our fourth year of results this year.
And is this usual like core business for MTM? Because I think a lot of people will have heard of MTM working in the independent school sector. Do you tend to carry out this analysis clearly for AMCIS in this case? But what is your other core business that you get involved in?
So we work with independent schools and also multi-academy trusts and nurseries as well, really helping them to visualize their market. So we provide market analysis, products for schools, demographic data. We do an awful lot of surveys with schools where they go out and survey parents, non-joiners, leavers. And this is a piece of research that we undertake for the sector every year. And we've been running it now with AMCIS for the last couple of years.
And I imagine that the work that you're doing in a I was going to say post-VAT, post-introduction of VAT world in which we're living now is even more valuable. So tell us a little bit about how people are actually feeling out there right now, people in marketing and admissions.
Yeah, so this year's results have really kind of highlighted the pressure that marketing and admissions staff are under. We can see concerns around affordability have increased massively, no surprise, and concerns around how they demonstrate value to their parent body. What we also see, unfortunately, and we've been seeing this for the last couple of years, is that schools, or many schools, are responding by cutting their marketing budgets. Just when that kind of strategic investment is most needed. We're also seeing a slightly high turnover among staff and marketing and admissions teams struggling to access some of the resources they need. My most concerning stat, and this is something I harp on about quite a lot, is that less than half of senior leadership teams in schools have marketing and admissions representation on their senior leadership team, which I think needs to be changed. It's remained stubbornly low since we first started tracking it. Having said all that, there are also some positives. I don't want it all to sound negative. So the majority of respondents feel very confident in their skills and genuinely love working in schools.
Okay, so this is really interesting to hear, especially when you're talking about SLT and the representation there, because if I can pick out one thing that I picked up on from the index, it's that none feel that they have sufficient budget to do what they need to be doing in their school. What's that all about then?
Yeah, so we can see budgets have been cut or remaining the same, which obviously, as we know, costs have increased across the board. So that's a real term cut. Marketing budgets now have to do an awful lot more. I don't think it's necessarily about having to spend more on your marketing, but we do need to see that every pound has to work harder. So that's why schools really need to be thinking in terms of return on investment. It's not about spending more, but it is about spending smarter. For me, obviously, that starts with data, and it takes the guesswork out of it. But I think what's often overlooked is that marketing isn't a cost center, it's a revenue enabler. And I think schools need to start thinking in those terms when looking at marketing and admissions budgets.
Yeah, it's really interesting to hear you say that, particularly in the face of marketing budgets being cut right now. Anyway, let's take it into a school. So Victoria, how much of this resonates with you?
Yeah, it's a really interesting time in the sector. And I think I was reflecting with our board of governors the other day. I don't think in the last 5 years it hasn't been an interesting time. There's always been something that we're contending with. In terms of the turnover of staff in schools, I think definitely in our region, it feels like kind of the natural ebb and flow of the workforce. But what really resonates with me is I think it's really pivotal to make sure that we're getting these appointments correct in the first place. I think a lot of the times maybe the school and the human don't fit completely, and then in the first year it becomes very apparent that those aren't going to be compatible. And I think it's the case where you have a lot of staff who've maybe always done things a certain way, and maybe they've got a new leadership team or a new head coming in, and they want to shake things up a bit, and they think, oh, maybe that isn't for me. They go to another school and it doesn't quite fit there. So I think it's making sure that you have the right human for the right school is really important. And in terms of budgets, of course, we always think we don't have enough money. I'm very lucky that I've got a very healthy budget to do what we need to do at Royal Wassail. But you know, Emily's hit the nail on the head in terms of we just need to make sure that money's really working smarter for us, and using the plethora of data that there is to make smart decisions. And I think for us in schools, sometimes it can be a bit confusing to know which data is the golden bullet, because we have so much now that you can kind of you can make the data justify any decision that you want to make. So it's a little bit of trial and error too. But yeah, that's how myself and my peers across the country are feeling as well.
Victoria, let's talk about one of the things that you mentioned there about recruiting staff, and I think you called it staff being the right fit or something like that. I mean, sometimes marketing and admissions staff are recruited from outside of the independent school sector, and they bring with them a vision from the world outside of independent schools, which can be really good. Sometimes culturally, they don't quite understand how things do work inside a school. I don't want to make anybody listening to this right now who has come from outside of the sector feel vulnerable or anything else like that, or feel like I'm picking them on them when I say that. But what are your thoughts regarding recruiting staff from other schools versus outside of the sector completely?
Yeah, it's actually really pertinent because I'm recruiting currently now for a registrar position in my team. And I purposely threw in a few candidates from outside of the industry because I think it's really exciting to see what other industries can bring to ours. I love new ideas and I love innovating. So I'm definitely on board that bus. I think it can make people feel a little uncomfortable. Maybe people who feel like this is the way we've traditionally done things and we're not really open to new ideas. You cannot beat, especially when it comes to registrar positions, you cannot beat that experience in terms of knowing how to approach families. It's not a hard sell. It's very much a relationship building business. And that relationship could be over 3 to 4 years before you actually get that child behind a desk. So it is really important that they have those skills. And the people who I have brought in for interview from outside of the industry work in fields like recruitment, for instance, So there's some very obvious transferable skills there. But in terms of marketing, I think that's an area where you can be more successful if you have come from outside of the sector. But with admissions, I think that experience is really interesting. And also the resilience that that brings to you, because I think sometimes when we are building these relationships, you get so invested in families and you'll be speaking to them for a few years and you're giving them so much attention and you feel like they are your family. Then you make the offer, you're feeling very happy with yourself that you have, and they're into you and you're into them. And then they pick another school. And I think the first time that happens to you as a registrar or somebody who's in charge of admissions in any way, that really can, be a dagger to the heart. So I think actually that resilience in terms of having that experience is really important in admissions. And it's not that you can't build it on the job, but I think it's really interesting to watch people. I warn people that this is going to happen to you, and they're like, no. And then the first time it happens, like, oh, okay, I see what you mean.
Now, a question for both of you. I remember a long time ago, I asked a marketing manager in a school what the teachers could do differently in order to help with the marketing team, and I thought that she would say something like, help with sending photos through to marketing for events that have happened in the past. And I thought she'd maybe say to have more of an understanding of the marketing strategy or something like that, and she didn't. She said to me, I just want them to teach well, because if they teach well, then they'll take that positive message home to their parents, and then everything ultimately will sort itself out. Now, this was around about 8 or 9 years ago that she said this. And I'm wondering whether she would say or give me the same answer right now in 2025 if I asked her that question. Do you think that simply having good teachers is sufficient, or do you think that we all need to be much more savvy in the marketing that we do? That feels like a leading question. I don't mean it to sound like that at all. Emily, Victoria, either of you, give me some thoughts on this.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And yes, I would agree with that. You want them to teach really well. But I also think there needs to be an awareness that actually everybody is involved in the marketing of a school. And Irfan Latif's keynote at the AMCIS conference kind of really reinforced that. And it's everyone. It's not just the teachers. It's, the groundsmen, the receptionists. You want everyone to be good at the day job that they're doing, but they also are all very involved in the marketing. I think possibly where I think the marketing and admissions teams perhaps need a little bit more support is actually in helping promote their role to the rest of the school from heads and bursars. If I was back in the school environment, I think I probably wouldn't want the teachers to necessarily change how they work. They were all fantastic teachers. I might like them to respond to my emails or my request for information a little bit speedier than they do. But no, fundamentally, I wouldn't change it. But I think, some kind of more promotion for the role that marketing and admissions do from that SLT. Perhaps when they're awarding a staff pay rise, you could connect the dots at INSET and say, we were 10 pupils higher than our target. So fantastic. We're in the position to be able to give a pay rise. I think maybe I'd push for that kind of promotion a little more.
Emily, it's great to hear that. And great to hear that you're referring back to Irfan Latif's fantastic keynote speech at the AMCIS conference. It was a great speech. A lot of people will know Irfan, of course, and he's a great person. Now, one of the things he was saying, of course, is that marketing is as critical as the curriculum, and that school admissions and marketing leaders are just that. They are leaders in what they're doing. What are your thoughts on this, Victoria?
I think I've always been in a position in my career where I have been on the leadership team within a school. So I'm not going to say I'm lucky, because I think that's where I should be. And that's where there should absolutely be representation. I think it's difficult in terms of who gets the seats at the table. And I think sometimes a lot of the seats occupied are actually legacy positions, rather than strategically, these people make the most sense to be sat around this table. And for my role specifically, because I oversee marketing and admissions, it's easier for one human being to be sat around the table. Where it's split out into several roles, I guess it does become a little more challenging. So in lieu of somebody who specifically does this day job sitting around the table, it just needs to be somebody who gets it, who gets what you're doing and what you're trying to achieve, and respects the professionalism and your profession as well, that you know what you're doing. I think one of the things that we can find quite challenging in marketing and admissions is that everybody thinks that they can do our job. Everybody has a social media account and they can post a picture. But I think one of the beauties of what we do is that we do make it look easy. So people do feel like that they could do it for you. But they don't see all of the back end work that you do on the data and, you know, organizing campaigns and things like that. So it is very interesting how different SLTs are assembled. And I think my point would be to encourage heads to really think about, if you were starting from scratch and you took all of the personalities out of it, which human being should be sat around that table to make sure your business is performing at its absolute peak, and take it from there. And I know that might be, there are personalities and humans involved, so that can take time, but I would just encourage them to move towards that position of the ideal SLT.
Thanks for that, Victoria. It's great to get your insight on that, especially as you're not just a director of marketing and admissions in school, but also a board member for AMCIS. Emily, if I can just jump back to you for a second. One of the other key points about the confidence index that really jumped out at me was when the question was asked, or the statement was made, it's becoming increasingly difficult to encourage parents to choose an independent education. Either 75% agree or strongly agree. Should we be worried then if 75% of schools are finding it increasingly difficult to encourage parents to choose an independent education?
Yeah, I mean, it's a sign of the times and the challenges that independent schools are facing. I think what it shows is that schools simply can't afford not to invest in understanding their markets and communicating their value. And I think what schools need to understand is that when we talk about value, we don't mean what the schools think their value is. We mean what the parents actually perceive as the value. They're making a significant financial commitment. And my son's just about to go into year four next September, and he's just moving from the state sector to the independent sector. And it is, quite frankly, terrifying, the financial investment we are making. So you want to feel really confident in what you're getting back. And that value will look completely different depending on which school you're talking to and, you know, what their market looks like, its community and its strengths. So I think that kind of really shows that schools need to stop relying on outdated assumptions and stop relying on kind of anecdata, as we've heard it referred to in the past. But I think, and this also links back to your last question, there is a fundamental issue, and it is not just in the independent education sector that we see this, but I think an awful lot of people in businesses do not understand the role of marketing, and I'm focusing on marketing in particular here. And I actually looked up the Chartered Institute of Marketing's definition this morning because I couldn't remember it from my courses with them. But it talks about it being the management process responsible for identifying, anticipating, and satisfying customer requirements profitably. It doesn't focus on promotion. So in schools, it is not just about doing a wow open event or producing a glossy brochure. And that means marketing should be having an input into the product that we deliver. What sort of educational product do parents want now? It's probably very different from 20 years ago. How is it priced? How do we convey that pricing? You know, why, for example, do we still do 3 invoices a year to coincide with terms? Well, most households budget on a monthly basis. So why don't we have monthly direct debits, which I know some schools are moving to, and how that is positioned. And that, of course, comes back to why they should have a seat at the leadership table.
It's really interesting to get your views on this, Emily, especially not just because you're at MTM, but also as someone who used to work in marketing and admissions in an independent school. Victoria, one of the other things we've talked about in the past on this podcast with AMCIS is about marketing on a budget. And you mentioned earlier that you seem to have sufficient budget to do the things that you need. Of course, all of us would like more budget to do more marketing, naturally. Nevertheless, tell me about the importance in 2025 of getting as much return on investment about sort of minding how we are spending our money, whether or not we feel like we have sufficient to do the things that we need to be doing.
I think I was really pleased, Emily, to hear you say the word products, because I think a lot of the people in education may wince at that, but we are selling a luxury product here, which is the equivalent of a very nice family car every year. So it needs to feel like a luxury product, as well as feeling like it is value for money in this day and age. In terms of the marketing budget, I think we're definitely in an era of the democratization of marketing. We've never had so many skills and tools to be able to deliver what we do in the way that we specifically want it, and that we can also carry out a lot of those functions ourselves without the use of a professional external company, which of course is incredible if you can afford that. But a lot of the things that you can do yourselves are really professional looking. So I think it gives schools that have the smaller budgets a bit of a fairer chance, I think, to be able to create something that is wow. But I think, you know, it's great as well to be able to share amongst your peers what you are doing. And I know that we are all competing for children, and we are all competitors, but we're not all close competitors. So I think that's why events like the AMKIS conference and the regional meetings are so important, to be able to share with each other what you're doing, what is successful in your area, and those little hints and tips. And I think specifically from the AMKIS conference, I'll come away maybe with two or three things that I absolutely will put into practice and I will use probably from the next week. This year, it was really interesting app, which will do voiceovers into any language that you want with your own voice and your own face, which was incredible. I haven't been brave enough to publish them yet, but I thought, wow, isn't that a really, 2 years ago, I would never have comprehended that we could have technology that would do something like that for me. So yeah, I think it makes it more of a level playing field that there are so many apps and services available. But I think the absolute value of getting an external company in to help you as well is just to set you on the right track. Because as I mentioned before, we've got data coming out of our ears, and it can be a little bit of a red herring, you know, which one to kind of pin your hat on. Oh my gosh, that's a lot of mixed analogies. It can be a bit confusing to know which data is the data that you should be following. So, and that is where consultants can help you to say, okay, this is what you have, this is what you could be doing, and then set you off on that path.
Okay, that's really good to hear, Victoria. That's really good. I'm keeping an eye on time. In a moment, we need to bring this podcast episode to a close. I'd strongly encourage anybody to check out the Confidence Index if they haven't seen it yet, if only to see one of the points, which is the last one I'm going to bring out, which is about feeling stressed or anxious about the role and workload in schools. Quite a lot of people are saying that they are feeling stressed and anxious. But to end this podcast recording on a positive, can I ask each of you, as we get towards the summer holidays right now, what each of you plan to do to switch off from work a little bit over the next few weeks?
I'm going to be going on several little trips with various friends. I'm not going too far afield because part of my role, I am lucky enough to do quite a lot of overseas travel. So in the summer holidays, I quite like to stay in the UK. I think you can't beat the UK when it's sunny. So a few trips and a little bit of camping for me.
Very good, Victoria. Thank you for that. And Emily, how about you?
Yeah, so I'm really lucky at MTM we're a relatively flexible company, and in the school holidays I drop my hours right down, so I have a lot of time with the kids, and we are also heading off to Spain for quite a lot of August, so I shall thoroughly enjoy that.
Very nice. Very quite a lot of August. That sounds very promising, Emily. Very good indeed. Well, we do need to bring this to a close, but what we'll do, if it's okay with the pair of you, we'll leave your LinkedIn profile links in the show notes for this podcast episode. But Emily, Victoria, thank you both very much for being here. Thank you for giving your insights and thoughts in the independent sector today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So there we are, a busy pair of movers and shakers in the world of independent schools. Great to talk to them both. To find out more about AMKIS, just visit the website amkis.co.uk. This episode was produced by the Bonjour Agency. The next episode will be out soon, but in the meantime, thank you for listening. Bye for now.